好了，他其实我都去他们去，他电竞这个情况一早，啊呢，刚来嘛，这个人们的主播的早今天要买的也是，其实去他们去让给我呢，买主播的，他早今天主播要买的，人们主播现在早今天主要买的是，还是电竞这个情况的也是。今天在三月九日的一，俺的电竞这个群里去，好呢，俺的电竞一那么些送吧得了，俺呢，这个送上去，俺呢。先，俺就这个上有军人的了，俺这里这个马来西亚的军军了，今天用苏格马来西亚，我这里呢，那个是呢，多花了铁中了，因为呢，上有军人电竞这个军方的这类军产的三大用途，俺呢上有军人的有送来的，我呢电报引报的，还有热水土过来事情，我这个嘛需要学习。
Good evening. So last time we spoke about how all phenomena without exception are dependent arisings. They arise independence on other, independence on causes or imputation or parts. There's not a single phenomenon that can be found anywhere, whether an inner or outer phenomenon, that exists inherently. And moreover,no phenomenon has ever been inherently existent. So it's not that phenomena were at one point inherently existent and now no longer are. All phenomena, without exception, have never, ever been anything other than dependent arisings. And Buddha Shakyamuni taught this in his presentation on dependent arising. And there was no one who could refute this presentation of the Buddha on dependent arising. There's no one who could refute this with any logic or any valid reasoning. So therefore, his students, ourselves, can have confidence in the truth and the validity of the teaching on dependent arising. That's what we were looking at last time.
三月九日的去，俺那三月去去的白马寺去，这个站在那站完了也是，俺那这个带俩准备现在又送过来，前边都跑完了也是的。俺接着去可隆去，三月去的你就送了呀。俺这新旧接的白马寺边的，三月送来的，俺带俩跑完就没路，三天接着去可隆去，来的那个俺前边的才是的，你第一个嘛学的。
So I shall continue in the text, and we come to a verse where Jaya Rinpoche praises Buddha Shakyamuni for this peerless teaching, this teaching that he himself, Jaya Rinpoche himself, has investigated and come to see clearly that there is nothing superior to this presentation on dependence arising. That's the 50th verse. Since this very part of dependence arising is the reason your speech is regarded as peerless, certainty arises in the validity of your other teachings as well.
Digi 동아디게 파세야 남디 공고를 되네 공 동아세 두부리 세지 어디 남기 덴바디 마 슬람게 남샤 덴디고네 송샤바디 안 뱀마시비게 안 덴바 신기다 소소라랑기다 덴바 신기 소소라랑데 드제르게라 남데야기 먹고 여러데 이네 상에 좀 되데 나신지 민도 상에 좀 된디기 뱀마시기 덴바 신에 캐바도 파봐 직송샤서 그래
So first, just to say from my side, the Tibetan English is very mixed. So I'm not going to read the English as Geshe-la goes because it's really very mixed here. Okay, so now, again, this commentary. So Buddha Shakyamuni himself, before he arose in this world as a Buddha, he trained for many years cultivating the various virtuous mental paths of love and compassion and wisdom and all the various mental paths that are required in order for a being to attain perfection, in order for a being to arise as a Buddha. And through this skillful training, the Buddha completed or perfected all good qualities within himself and completely eradicated each and every fault, even the subtlest traces of faults, he completely eradicated. And in that way, he trained and arose as a Buddha. And on the basis of this experience that came through all this training and cultivation of these unmistaken mental paths, he taught the Buddha Dharma, he taught the unmistaken method whereby he attained liberation and enlightenment, and he taught this unmistaken method completely, faultlessly to his students so that they too could cultivate these self-same paths within themselves. He taught what is meant by suffering. He identified the suffering that beings experience and showed them showed them the investigative process to engage in themselves so that they can come to realize for themselves the pervasive nature of suffering in psychic existence. Moreover, he taught based on his wisdom and his experience the causes of suffering, and he showed to his students the method by which they can come to investigate and realize the causes that keep them bound in the suffering states of samsara. And moreover, he taught that this can be brought to a cessation. These states of suffering that pervade our samsaric experience, these can be brought to cessation. And fourthly, he taught the method, the technique, the mental paths to be cultivated that will lead to a state of liberation, a state that is liberated from suffering. Listen, and here, Jay Rinpoche has investigated and is praising Buddha Shakyamuni, Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings for being peerless. Because no other teacher has taught this unmistaken path and taught it in its entirety. So therefore, Jay Rinpoche is praising Buddha Shakyamuni.
Michigi, Tembashin, you saw by the Chabal of Papas, you, Chifeshas, Chizadinigi, Yimbadi, and the Jerem Chikoran, Chamber, rather, Tikanis Chamber, Lana, Tembasan, you chimney, you soon shabby, Namgin, Namchat, and Tendig, Namchat, some Baha, Sunshavatelan, Via Sunrabia, Tebaje, and Dun de Layane, and some Dinigi and Gombigi, Sosugi, and Hako Nodu, Dinisan, you chimney, Chigi.
Jen Bishe is praising Buddha Shakyamuni here for his wisdom and his experience. So for being learned and experienced. And he's been praised in this way for being supremely skilled because of the path that he has cultivated within himself, the path that Buddha Shakyamuni cultivated within himself in order to become a Buddha. And then shared that path. In particular, this unmistakable presentation on dependent arising, where the Buddha taught the presentation on dependent arising and didn't present it as mere theory, but he also showed how his students can cultivate the realizations of dependent arising within their own continuum. And he guided his students through all the steps of the meditation so that they can give rise to the wisdom resulting from the realizations of dependent arising within their own continuum. So it's for this reason that the Buddha is being praised.
Jayampuche is praising Buddha Shakyamuni here for the very realizations that Buddha Shakyamuni gave rise to within his own continuum, and moreover, is not being praised solely for having realized the path in its fullest, most complete, most perfected state, but that he taught this. And he taught this in a method that is complete and faultless. In other words, whoever follows the teachings that the Buddha gave and puts them into practice in exactly the way that the Buddha taught, they too will give rise to these self-same realizations that the Buddha himself achieved. So that, and amongst these teachings, what Jayampuche is particularly praising the Buddha for is the presentation on dependent arising. So whilst all Buddhist teachings are worthy of praise, here he's particularly praising the teachings on dependent arising, where Buddha Shakyamuni taught that all phenomena, whether permanent or impermanent, whether permanent or compounded phenomena, all phenomena, they only exist as dependent arisings. There's no single phenomenon or group of phenomena that have ever existed in any other way. There's nothing that has ever existed inherently. All phenomena are mere dependent arisings, are only dependent arisings. And through realizing what the Buddha has taught, through giving rise to an unmistakable realization of this teaching of dependent arising, the practitioner, the student, or the follower of the Buddha will accomplish huge stores of virtue. If you're continuing to train their mind in this way, cultivating these mental paths, they are able to actually completely eliminate all their afflictive minds. And this the state of having eliminated their afflicted minds completely comes about through realizing that phenomena are dependent arisings. There's nothing that exists that is not a dependent arising. Everything is dependent. There's no other teacher who has taught this. No other teacher taught the subtlety of dependent arising, that all phenomena, whether permanent or impermanent, are dependent arisings. Other teachers of philosophy presented that phenomena exist by way of their own nature, their inherently existent. They exist by way of their own inherent nature. Or they taught a view propounding a creator God. So there are many different philosophical views. But it's only the Buddha who taught dependent arising in its entirety or in its subtlest forms.
Lambdi yi yi sidu dianjin zhewa chungwiki lam, da dianjin zhewa chungwiki, da tablam si shor wat, da tablam si haji nga zhuk. Bende, nga zhu, chike gom jabji bende nyomo siya liya, nga zhu, chik dianjin zhewa chungwiki gyumze samta nga zhu, ndela dine, samta di, sungpa na xin, lambdi gomba ina nyomo siya tubu yo badi, nga zhu shai chui go re si. Nina xin, 当然这个东北人说的刚才上一句那个电信这话送我的东北人还会给他们俩电信这话就送我的其实电信这话就完了有的先了电信这话刚才没有办法让我们的这个要买的其实电信这话就先了电信这话送我先了电信这话的样子样子什么办法让我们的这个刚才没有办法让我们的这个东西多图图啊东西多图图啊的其实
The story path of dependent arising that Buddha Shakyamuni taught with this method, this technique of dependent arising. This is what leads to the elimination of our afflicted minds. So it's this very presentation of, first of all, the philosophy of dependent arising, and secondly, the technique and how to cultivate it within oneself to give rise to a mental path, realizing a mental path of dependent arising, that one is able to eliminate afflicted minds. And this is because to eliminate afflicted minds, one needs to cultivate the direct antidote, the wisdom realizing emptiness. And amongst the different techniques to realize emptiness, to cultivate this wisdom, realizing that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, the very best, the supreme technique is that of dependent arising. Hence, this part of dependent arising is being praised here, because it's through cultivating a mental path of, or cultivating a method of, or an understanding of dependent arising, and training in this repeatedly over a sustained period, that one will come to see that all phenomena only exist independent on other. And coming to see that all phenomena are dependent arisings, whether on parts or causes or imputation by mind, one will be able to realize emptiness. And through this realization of emptiness, one will be able to completely eliminate the cause of our suffering, our afflicted minds.
那南地一些宋贤呀，才嘛就把人家把接是的，宋贤呀，就在，就那宋贤是的，就是说嘞，心都过去，电线为三级送，但那个电线只要过，当年那三级送些别个，那我都给，告诉我嘞，就是过去了，那东北人些的，那大面吧，不能没大把的，送了，那你过去了，通的，就是三级送的，接了的呢，电线只要就什么的，我就去，还是心都过，还是军事过去，东北人的接多，土都列举的，当然这个那这些多，啊，我都过了，就在今年子，电线只要什么南地什么大行的南地了的呢，三级送些别的心都过去的，就啊，这个接嘛接呢，还能多出来搞的好不巧了，心都过去，就在三级有弄了的呢，那一些个，一些个才嘛接过来，就在今年子。
As one comes to understand this presentation of dependence arising, and understand it not just merely intellectually, but it's starting to have an impact on one's way of thinking, then this, of course, leads to a strong faith in the Buddha and the Buddha's teaching on dependence arising. And as one is coming to understand dependence arising and that phenomena lack inherent existence, one is coming to understand a hidden phenomenon, and that is the understanding of emptiness. Because right now our understandings are mainly limited to the world of manifest phenomena, those that appear to our sense consciousnesses. But through the application of our critical analysis, utilizing investigative techniques, we can come to understand phenomena that are hidden to our sense consciousnesses. And we can come to understand them through using our intelligence. And one of those objects is the presentation on emptiness, which is best understood through the presentation on dependence arising. So this hidden object of emptiness of inherent existence, this we can understand, not on our own, but through the guidance and the training of a qualified teacher teaching the Buddha Dharma, teaching the Buddha's teachings on dependence arising. And so when we come to realize this hidden phenomena of the emptiness of inherent existence, when we come to realize something that was previously hidden to us, this will lead to a great faith or trust or conviction in the teachings of the Buddha, and the not just of the Buddha Dharma, but of the teacher of the Buddha Dharma, Buddha Shakyamuni himself. And in this way, we will have confidence in his other presentations that we cannot realize for ourselves, through the application of our intelligence or our critical analysis. And these are the very hidden phenomena, such as the subtle workings of cause and effect. The subtle workings of cause and effect are, and as well as those other topics that are included in very hidden phenomena, we can only know based on scriptural authority. But if we have come to realize hidden phenomena based on the teachings of the Buddha, this will lead to far more powerful and unshakable faith in the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings. And with that unshakable faith, we will see the validity in his other teachings, his teachings on the very hidden phenomena, such as the subtle workings of cause and effect, subjects that we cannot come to realize for ourselves, but we are solely reliant on scriptural authority. We summarize this verse then from Jinpache, is that first of all the Buddha is being praised for his training and his development and arisal as a Buddha, and then for having taught or the entire path to us, and in particular amongst his many teachings, he's been praised here for the presentation on dependent arising, the unmistaken path to liberation. And he's been praised for this with the recognition by Jerenpuche that there's no other teacher who can be compared to Buddha Shakyamuni. Buddha Shakyamuni is incomparable in that he is the only founded teacher who has realized dependent arising and taught it in the complete, a complete and unmistaken way. Not just the coarser understandings of dependent arising, but the very subtlest understandings of dependent arising. And moreover, Jerenpuche is praising Buddha Shakyamuni here, not just on the basis of his own profound study, but his realization based on that study. So through his own, Jerenpuche's own critical analysis of the Buddha's teaching, in other words, through training his own mind in the topic exactly as taught by Buddha Shakyamuni, he's come to see the unmistaken truth. And now, through having come to realize hidden phenomena, such as the emptiness of inherent existence, he has an unshakable conviction in the validity of the authoritative scriptures of the Buddha in terms of the presentation of the extremely hidden objects, such as the subtle workings of cause and effect. The way then we should relate to this verse is that seeing this praise from Jerenpuche to Buddha Shakyamuni, we should again generate this conviction, this faith that Buddha Shakyamuni, through his own realization and accomplishments, has taught the unmistaken path, and he has taught it completely, the unmistaken path to happiness. And if we apply ourselves to meditating on these teachings, we too can give rise to an understanding that all phenomena, whether outer phenomena or inner phenomena, whether permanent phenomena or impermanent phenomena, everything that exists lacks inherent existence despite appearing as if it is so, but is rather a dependent arising. And it's only Buddha Shakyamuni who taught dependent arising. And we ourselves, we have yet to come to realize the emptiness of inherent existence. Thus, through seeing that the Buddha himself, as well as all the great masters who followed him and trained in this presentation, such as Jerenpuche himself, all of these great masters who trained in this technique as Buddha Shakyamuni presented it, they have come to realize the emptiness of inherent existence. So if we do the same as the founder Buddha, as well as all the great masters who have kept the lineage alive, as well as those in this world today, we too can develop this wisdom within ourselves. Now that we have attained this precious opportunity of this rebirth, and we have come to hear this presentation, we have found something of extreme rarity and value. And it's now that opportunity truly resides within the palm of our hands. And it's up to us how we utilize what remains of this life, what remains of this opportunity, and to ensure that what we have found doesn't go to waste. So we've had a lot of encouragement in this verse to contemplate or to meditate on dependence arising. And then how to do so? So this first, just to say that this meditation on dependence arising is truly of supreme importance, because it's, the more one understands this presentation on dependence arising, the greater our understanding of other aspects of the Buddha Dharma becomes. Whatever other aspects of the path that we are cultivating within ourselves, this is aided by the understanding of dependence arising. The most obvious would be that of cause and effect. Through understanding dependence arising, our understanding of cause and effect of karma deepens. And the other very obvious one would be the emptiness of inherent existence. The more we understand, the subtler our understanding of dependence arising is, the greater our understanding is that all phenomena lack inherent existence. And this is the case not just for cause and effect and the emptiness of inherent existence, but for all aspects of the path, all topics of meditation, they are aided by our understanding of dependence arising. So for us as beginners, we need to receive teachings, read books, and contemplate. Do so repeatedly over a sustained period, first starting with reflecting on a coarser level of dependence arising. Then slowly, as we continue to reflect on these coarser understandings, we will naturally, through our process of analysis, progress to subtler and subtler understandings. So that's how we need to start as beginners.
진지에 대화 좀 다리 빼면서 기회 침몰하지, 다 빼는 거 아니지, 소설 야가로 지다, 지 가래 채비네, 이 샤야 뉴스 야가 채비네, 야구 채비네, 컨트롤에 펜용 그래서, 두 컨트 펜에 야구래, 삼백 삼 다리가도 야가래 야자. 근데 니기 펜 바이나, 아니 컨트롤에 야구, 컨트롤에 디기용 그래서, 삼 다지, 아들 야가래 야래. 대안 아들이, 양은지, 댄디기 토네, 삼 다니 소수기, 융화 유수미 샤야. 아니지, 레가레야, 진비, 냠면, 지하다, 니네 토라, 섬다만, 니네 토나, 섬다, 지, 루치네, 섬다, 개발, 용서로.
그래서, as was just mentioned then, as beginners, we need to start with our reflection on the very coarse presentation of dependence arising. Because this is very easy to understand, and seeing it at the coarser levels, then it will serve as encouragement for us to want to meditate further and progress to subtler levels. So the easiest example, the example that the text always starts with, is if we think about agriculture, so with your garden at home or the work that farmers do, take a seed, you plant it, a few conditions come together, and then slowly that seed transforms, and later you have a plant, and then maybe a flower or a crop will grow. So this is very easy to understand. This shows a very coarse presentation of both dependent arising and cause and effect, and this is easy to understand. And then we can take this understanding and apply it to scenarios that we have direct experience of. And here you can take your understanding of dependence arising and apply it to your place of work. So there will be a variety of different jobs that you do. Whatever your job is, dependence arising interplays throughout your work. So take this understanding that one thing depends on another. Results come about in dependence on causes. Causes lead to results. This is dependence arising. This is cause and effect too, but this is dependence arising. And then when you do this in your meditation, you can also do it during your day. So whatever activity you're engaging in your place of work, be aware that what I'm doing now will lead to a result. So therefore, this is an illustration of dependent arising. How well I do this work will have an impact on how desirable the result is. And if I cut a few corners, well, the result's going to be a little different. So this is something that we can call to mind repeatedly throughout the day, because everything we do or we think, it has an impact. There's this relationship of dependency. And then this is a skillful way to keep our understanding of dependency present within us. And then, as we develop this habit, and in our meditations we go to subtler levels, those subtler understandings then we will naturally be recalling throughout the day. And then in our meditation, we can also think about whatever other topics of meditation we're looking at. Let's say, for example, we're generating the wish to only bring benefit to others. Not to whatever we do, whatever physical act we do, whatever way of communicating we engage in, or our way of thinking, may it only bring benefit to others. And meditating on generosity in this way, meditating on wanting to help others. So we can take our understanding of dependence arising and apply it to this very easily, because it's through helping others that we alleviate the suffering in their lives. So this is very clear. Through what we do, we help alleviate suffering in others. Through what we do, we help bring happiness to others. Likewise, through what we do, we bring happiness to ourselves. Moreover, we know from the presentation on cause and effect, we're creating virtue. This virtue will ripen in future lives in particular ways. So this is how we can take this presentation of dependent arising, apply it to our meditation on other topics, such as generosity, and then during the day, when we are engaging in beneficial activities to others, small or large, remind ourselves of this relationship of dependency. And we can do this again with everything else that we do, whether it's eating or drinking or exercising. We can think about that we are engaging in something which actually is a result of preceding causes. By engaging in this, results will follow. So there's a relationship of dependency. And in this way, we will become very familiar with the topic of dependency, and this familiarity won't just be experienced on the meditation cushion, but will be carried throughout our activities.
I'm sure everyone's days are quite full. If I were to look at your activities that you do from the moment you wake up throughout the day to when you lie down at night, there are many things that people engage in, and whether it's at home, whether it's also in the place of work or socializing, there's a variety of physical activities and verbal communications that one is engaging in. So if you are cultivating this knowledge or this understanding of dependence arising, and if you are doing it not only in your meditation session, but you start to develop this habit of applying it throughout your activity, it can have quite a transformative effect. And so here we're just talking about dependence arising really on the courses, the roughest of levels. So, reason for looking at this rough level, this coarse level, is because it's easy to understand. But we can, by using it in a skillful way, despite it being such a rough presentation, can have a profound impact on how we live our lives. So, for example, we think about how we interact with others, how we communicate with others, the impact that comes from how we speak to others, the words we choose, the tone we choose. And we see the impact that that has on others. That the same sentence expressed with a differing tone can either bring happiness into the life of someone else or can make their day worse. Likewise, when we meet someone, if we have an open and relaxed and friendly expression, this as a cause has an impact on others. There's this relationship of dependency. And they will respond to us, in their mind there will be a response of being relaxed and open in response to our facial expression. Likewise, if our mind is not open and spacious, but rather our mind is narrow and tight, then
This is likely to be shown in our facial expression. And when we meet someone or just walk past someone without saying or doing anything, we can have a negative impact on them. So this isn't the impact we want to have on others. We generally want others to like us. We want to bring happiness into this world and bring happiness through our encounters with others. But in order to be able to do that, that is a result that depends on causes. It's dependent on causes. So this then, those causes then come about to, in particular, our way of thinking, which then leads to our way of verbally communicating and our way of physically acting, such as our facial expression. So wanting to bring only good into this world, wanting to bring happiness to others, not wanting to add to the burden that others already carry, by thinking about dependence arising in this very easy way to understand, we will see the importance of guarding our mind, see the importance of keeping our mind in a positive, in a virtuous way, the importance of keeping our mind open, expansive, and spacious. And this then, through repeatedly recalling dependence arising, we will be encouraged to take care of our mind, knowing that from our mind, this leads to our speech being in a particular type, our behavior of a particular type, and that then has an impact on others. So we'll see this chain reaction from our mind right through to the impact that we have on others. So this is easy to understand. There's nothing that has been said here that is particularly astounding. It's easy to understand, and thereby it's easy to apply, it's easy to recall, even when one is busy.
이념의 제로 추진 이념의 야구용토가 평가로 봐. 내 신규 소설을 하는 야딘지도 땡진 제어주 삼다, 아카요마스파 인제 삼다외는 쇠비념의 내용으로. 제가 땡진 제어주 삼다외는 쇠비념의 내투고래, 아니, 추진 이념의 내투고래, 진비념의 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 내투고래, 진비 Rakhba.
And so what we'd be encouraged to do here is to, in the cushion, to think about dependence arising, and then to try and keep that, and that concept of dependence arising present throughout our activities. And we do this in a way that's not particularly profound, easy to understand, and because it's so easy to understand, we can recall it no matter what's going on in our day. And we do this repeatedly. And in this way, we develop a habit. We've seen the effectiveness of it. That habit is strengthened due to the wish to continue to do so. And so we've looked at one way that this can be done. Another very skillful way is when we encounter unwanted situations in the day. And possibly these happen every day, because these opportunities do come our way all too often. So if we think of situations when we do meet unwanted situations of any shade of severity, here too we remind ourselves about dependence arising. So let's say someone speaks to us in a harsh manner or in an abusive manner, or they show ingratitude towards us. So when someone speaks to us in such an unwanted way, if we have been training in the presentation on dependence arising on a meditation cushion, and we've been cultivating this habit of recalling it in the day, due to this habit, even in a time of potential danger in terms of our own afflictive minds arising, even then we can recall dependence arising because of the power of this familiarity. So when we remind ourselves, our inner voice speaks up and says, remember dependence arising. At that moment, because in this training process we've come to understand the workings of our own mind that much better, we can apply this to others. So we have seen how independence on our mind, we express ourselves, our facial expression is in a certain way, our way of communicating is in a certain way. That dependency we've seen within ourselves, when our mind is in a virtuous direction, a positive, open direction, this is reflected in how we interact with others. Likewise, when our mind is full of attachment or anger or narrow, that too is reflected. So with this understanding of ourselves, based on that, we can immediately apply to this person before us. And we'll see, just like when our mind is disturbed and we speak in a harsh manner, we show ingratitude, this person before me now is also afflicted. We may not know what is going on in their life, but what we do know for certainty is that this person right now is unhappy. Their mind is dominated by one or some afflictions, maybe it's attachment, maybe it's anger. And maybe it comes from their wishes not being fulfilled, or maybe it comes from illness or something that they're worrying about. What it is actually isn't that important. What is important is that we remind ourselves that when our mind is disturbed, we express this and we take it out on others. And that is exactly what is happening to this person. So in the same way as when we do this, we are doing it without control. We then set out to interact with others like that, and later we probably regret the way we communicated. So too with this person before us now. They too are not in control. And they are not in control because their mind is dominated by their afflictions. Not being in control, being dominated by their afflictions, they are suffering. They are not experiencing happiness. So here, thinking about dependence arising in relation to our own experience and applying it to others, independence on doing that, we understand their situation clearly. Compassion then naturally arises within us. So despite what this person has said, despite perhaps their bulging eyes and their red face, compassion arises within us. Our mind stays calm and gentle and spacious. And then we can respond in a way that's skillful, in a way that is of benefit to this person. Our peace of mind is not lost, in fact it's enhanced. And we can now act in a way that brings benefit to the suffering being before us. So what we see here is through training and dependence arising repeatedly over a sustained period on our cushion, taking that understanding and recalling it throughout our day in the way that I've been suggesting in these previous segments. And we can then apply it even in these difficult, unwanted situations. And what we see then is that dependence arising, our understanding of dependence arising, helps us with our training in ethical conduct, because it ensures that we don't bring harm to others. That's a training of ethics. Moreover, it ensures that we fulfill our wish to be of benefit to others, to help others, the practice of generosity. And then, of course, it helps us with the practice of patience and with love and with compassion. All of this comes about through training in dependence arising repeatedly over a sustained period, both on the cushion as well as keeping it in mind in our daily life.
Two sources of sources of our suffering. So what we've just referred to is those that are external to us, such as people that we encounter, and then those that are internal to us. So this could just could either be when we are mentally unhappy, just through our own inner world being in a dark place,
Or it can be, for example, through illness. So when you have some kind of unwanted personal situation. So here, we can also use the presentation on dependent arising to transform how we experience this unwanted situation. So if we take as an illustration, being diagnosed with a severe illness. This is, of course, an unwanted situation. No one hopes for this. And we spend much of our lives trying to be healthy and ensure we don't become ill. But the time will come when we do, the time may come when we do receive such a diagnosis. So at that time, how we think about the situation is of critical importance. Because how we think about the situation transforms how we experience it. So here in this illustration, I'll talk about illness, but this can be really applied to any situation, especially where there's these minds of inner turmoil. So here, think about that the situation, this unwanted situation that you're encountering, this has come about not out of the air, not causelessly, but it's a dependent arising. Causes that we ourselves accumulated properly in a past life have now ripened, in this, as this result, such as an illness. So what has come about is due to causes that have been accumulated, they have now ripened, and the result is being experienced. So there's no point getting upset about the situation, as unwanted as it is, because causes are accumulated, a result follows. That is the nature of cyclic cause and effect. From causes come results, and now the result met its conditions, or the cause met its conditions and ripened into this result. So that leads to a mind of acceptance, a calmer mind. And with this calmer mind, we can then think, so what are the solutions? What can I do about this situation? And often there is something that can be done to some degree, perhaps one can solve the problem, perhaps not, maybe, but the mind will be calmer. And we'll look, what can I do, what can't I do? And so through this process of acceptance, one transforms not necessarily the situation, but one's experience of it. And this then comes about through thinking about dependence arising. And in these severe situations where we've encountered something that we really truly don't want to experience, we can transform the situation with ease, independence on having trained over a sustained period on a meditation cushion and utilizing that experience, that knowledge in our daily lives. Then, when we meet these great unwanted situations, based on that independence, on that experience, even these can be transformed. And then, with sincerity, and with a calmer mind now, we can, with sincerity, remind ourselves of the situation of others. This unwanted situation, no matter how bad, this is being experienced by others right now in this world, not by ourselves alone. Others have created similar causes and are experiencing those results. And there's a far greater quantity of beings experiencing suffering beyond what I've experienced in this life. And this then immediately takes us away from ourselves and our own awful situation. We're reminded of the suffering of others. And then we can, with this calmer mind, this more open and spacious mind, we can generate this sincere wish that through this negative karmic seed that I accumulated now ripening and me experiencing its result, through this, may no other being experience such a result at all. And through the virtue that I accumulate through thinking in this way, may all beings be freed of suffering, and may all beings experience only happiness. Here one accumulates great waves of merit through the minds of love and compassion, and as this arises within oneself, one with sincerity dedicates it for others, accumulating ever further virtue to continue to dedicate for the welfare of others. And this then is a very skillful way to use one's understanding of dependent arising. And the way in this segment I've spoken about dependent arising, it's not particularly profound, it's not deep and subtle. But it's difficult to apply in these challenging situations unless one has trained well before. And if one has trained well before, it's second nature, and it can be done to great effect.
The further way one can use one's understanding of dependence arising, because we've looked at a number of situations where our understanding of dependence arising has an impact on our ethical conduct, on our generosity, on our patience. So one can guess then what we'll be looking at next. So if whatever it is that we want in our life, or that we do not want, if that wish is strong, we will strive to ensure that we achieve what we desire, or we do not encounter an unwanted situation. The strength of mind that leads us to strive for something is entirely dependent on the wish to achieve that or to avoid it. Here we can think of people in their careers. Whether they're starting out perhaps first as students, or they're entering into their career and they're striving to achieve a particular goal, or perhaps a great athlete and sports people. None of them have just woken up and as being a world champion. This is something that has been achieved through great effort, persistently over a lengthy period of time, with a single point of determination. And that single point of determination, that just wasn't bestowed upon them. They didn't take a pill and there it was. Rather, they cultivated this wish to achieve this goal. So independence on repeatedly thinking about the desirability of this goal they wanted to achieve, the wish to strive and put everything else aside to achieve this one goal, rose in their mind and dominated their mind. And they continued to cultivate this wish ever stronger, so that whatever obstacles they encounter, they could overcome those obstacles, always knowing that the achievement of that goal is worthwhile. So this is an illustration of dependence arising. And this then, if we apply to the various goals of the Buddha Dhamma, or to the cultivation of the dependence arising itself, we will then, through repeatedly over a sustained period, thinking about the great benefits that come to having a realization of dependence arising, this will lead to us to want to strive for this realization. It will lead to a transformation of our priorities. It will lead to us to being much more easily able to find the time to have a sustained daily meditation practice. It will lead us to have the strength of mind to want to recall dependence arising throughout our day, no matter what we are doing, to look for the truth of dependence arising, or the applicability of dependence arising in whatever mundane or exceptional, perhaps, activity we are engaging in. So this mind of joyous perseverance,
It comes about through thinking about the desirability of the goal, giving rise to this strong wish to achieve this goal, and cultivating this mind again and again and again. Not just if it arises in you now hearing this talk and leaving it at that, but generating it again and again and again, just like every famous athlete or sports person has done in order to become someone exceptional in this world.
In this verse here, and how we can apply the understanding of, or the presentation of dependence arising to all the various practices in the path. And we've in particular looked at ethical conduct and generosity and patience and joyous perseverance, as well as referring to love and compassion. So from this we can see this, perhaps we can say this unique benefit of dependence arising, or this this extraordinary benefit of dependence arising, how it has an impact on all of our other trainings, our other practices. So seeing this, we should understand quite clearly
why this is such a remarkable and praiseworthy teaching, and why Jerome Pache in this text has praised Buddha Shakyamuni so for dependence arising. And moreover, this to be able to apply this understanding of dependence arising in this broad way, this is something that doesn't come about naturally to people in the world. It doesn't come about to us independent merely on hearing one or two teachings or even several teachings on this. It only comes about if, just like accomplished athletes, we train and we train with great devotion to our training, with great commitment to our training. In this way, we can start to transform our way of thinking, through developing new courses and experiencing new results. So I'd encourage you, when you're reflecting on dependent arising, to reflect on these kinds of situations and how you can use your understanding of dependent arising. So if we take what we've been looking at recently, those of dealing with difficult, unwanted situations, such as when people approach us or an illness, other kinds of unwanted situations, these are very difficult to deal with. These are very difficult to deal with skillfully if one hasn't trained. So on your meditation cushion, engage in reflection through recalling past events where someone perhaps spoke to you in an unwanted way, and think, how skillful did I respond? What happened in my mind? What arose in my mind? And see this process of dependency and dependence on what they said, certain minds arose. And from these minds, suffering arose. From this, an expression came either directly to that person or later to someone else, etc. So we see this process of dependency. And then we think, so how could I have responded more skillfully? And we go through a role play of a more skillful way to think. And we do so reminding ourselves at every step of dependency. And if we do this repeatedly, not just once or twice, but repeatedly, then when these opportunities come, and they do come, we will have rehearsed what to do. And like a skilled actor has learned their lines well, we will immediately be triggered, not with an affliction, but with our training. And our training will remind us that this person before us now is speaking to us in this particular way due to their mind being dominated by afflictions. And therefore, they are suffering, they are experiencing pain, and they are merely taking out their inner pain on me. And with this understanding, naturally love and compassion will arise within us. We will not want to harm the suffering being. We will want to help the suffering being. So this then comes about only in dependence on our prior training, our repeated prior training. And so this, we can understand this with a very clear analogy, that we all don't want to suffer, and a way that of suffering that we don't enjoy is one of hunger. And we know that if we are hungry, we need to solve this suffering, and the way to solve it is to eat something. And so therefore it's important in the home not just to have food, but maybe to have some pre-prepared food or some snacks tucked away, because then when one's hungry, easy to solve the problem. But if one hasn't prepared, one hasn't done any shopping, and the cupboard's bare and the fridge is bare, then one's hungry, what to do? There's nothing that can be done. So in such a case, one hasn't prepared, and one can't solve the problem. And likewise, with the difficulties in an unwanted situation in our life, if we have trained well, if we have developed skill and ability within ourselves, if we have developed new habituation through our meditation and our reflection, then when we encounter unwanted situations, whether it is from another person or whether it's our own inner turmoil, then with a joyous mind, we will have the opportunity to put our training into practice. And in this way, we can transform awful unwanted circumstances into great waves of merit, and be of immediate benefit and ever to the person there, and through this merit be of ever greater benefit to all beings. So the advice from Jaya Rinpoche to us in this verse here is through reflecting on dependent arising on our cushions, taking that understanding and apply it in a coarse way, a way that's easy to understand throughout our day. Because every action we do is dependent on a wide variety of mental processes, physical activities, and so forth. And in this way, we keep our understanding of dependent arising ever present, and we can use it in the most skillful of ways. So we'll conclude here for tonight. If you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. Yes, Sonia.
Topic that I moved
to.
Sure. Is cause and effect synonymous with
dependent arising? Is cause and effect synonymous with dependent arising?
So there are
different, but there is a very clear relationship between the two. So cause and effect then is the presentation on karma, and there are many different aspects in the presentation on causes and results, or causes and effects that one could look at, the very different types of acting results, of different kinds of causes, etc. So that's the presentation on karma. Then the presentation on dependent arising is quite different, but there's a clear link in that one of the types of dependency is dependent on causes and conditions. So in dependence on causes and conditions, then things come into being. So in the context of all impermanent or phenomena or compounded phenomena, these are dependent on causes and conditions. So they're two different presentations, but there's a bridge between them. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.